Morning Discovery Community Church. My name is Jesse, your director of youth and young adults.
And I'm Kyle.
We are so excited you're joining us this morning on our Sunday morning live stream. We have a pretty cool Sunday plan for you. I mean, we have this gentleman with this fantastic hat with us today. And we have a great message for Pastor Antonio. He's continuing our Bound and Determined series. But we want to take a moment before we jump into everything today to talk about our mini camps. Our mini camps are an opportunity for us to go into the community, into a local park, and for a couple of days, invite kids, invite families to play games and learn about Jesus. And Tad, what is your involvement then with these mini camps? It's a beautiful thing, because as you connect to kids, you also connect to parents. Yeah. Well, Pat, how do you see God moving in these mini camps right now?
Well, I think that it's really important that we're connecting with where we are locally. And so these mini camps are set up in different, cities, different areas that we're close to.
Yeah, so our next mini camp is actually going to be a little bit south in DuPont. After that, we're going to have one in Puyallup. If you'd like any more information, maybe you want to volunteer, maybe you want your kids to go to this, maybe you know some people you'd like to invite to it, please go to districtchurch.com and you can find all the information there. As you join us on our live stream today, please feel free to interact. Even though we're distant, we love the idea that you can come together. So like, comment. We would love to just meet with you this Sunday. And now we're going to have a great time of worship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for how you're going to move in houses and communities all around with you this Sunday, and maybe even the world. I pray that in every church that you would be there in spirit, that people would be moved, not just inside these walls, but outside these walls as well. Thank you for a great service today.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down,
Discovery Church. It's such an honor to be here with you. I'm Pastor Antonio. Grab your Bibles, or if you're going to be reading along with us on the screen, scriptures will be displayed there. I'm going to be reading from Genesis 39, and I'm going to start reading with more than the verse 19. And we're talking about Joseph, and we're going to bound and determined. So verse 19, it says, Potiphar was furious when he had heard his wife's story about Joseph, how Joseph had treated him. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were there. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Can we pray real quick, Father God? We thank you for your word. God, I pray you to speak to us. God, I pray you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive. You know, I'm not sure about you, I find Joseph's story to be very difficult and hard to digest. I'm not sure if you're like me, but when I read scripture, sometimes I get like third-party trauma, right? I'm like third-party resentment, right? I'm like angry for these people. I'm like, I can't wait to find Joseph's brothers, right? I'm going to give them a piece of what they deserve, right? It's hard digesting the story because Joseph's story is really centered and wrapped around betrayal and after betrayal and after betrayal and after betrayal, right? Like, there's so many, he's like being stabbed in the back, like left and right and front and back, like right. You cannot go a moment without being betrayed. really want to talk about today is being bound. Like, where am I bound and determined to? And today, my title of my message is Marked But Bound. I believe that as followers of Jesus, and I'll even make this practical, that I believe that I'm talking to a lot of hardworking, faithful people. And oftentimes when you're talking to God's faithful people, the hardworking, faithful people that carry on the work, is in our faithfulness, there are probably moments where we grow weary. There are probably moments in your life where you've been overlooked, overshadowed, where you've been, your skills have been passed over, where you've been invited to wings, where you may have had all of the answers, but you were flying the wall. Abandoned. But really what I want to speak to is this idea that in these moments of our faithfulness, I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in your life. That although there may be seasons in our life, friends, in our faithfulness, in our good doing, and working hard for the Lord, is that we need to be reminded to not worry about what we need to do. Because as Pastor John asked this question last week, so how do you want your story to be written? I believe although we are penning the books of the pages to our story, that God keeps good records. Psalms 139 even tells us that God is writing and penning every single moment of our life. So God is aware. He's attentive. He knows exactly what's going on in your world. He sees how God's faithful people, right? He knows your betrayal. He knows your hurts. He knows the pain that's been inflicted on you. He knows the prescriptive pain that you experience each and every day. But friends, I'm here to encourage you that although there are books being written about your life, although there have been prescriptive pains, although life may have punched you in the nose, that God himself is penning the very story. He's penning the very book. But really, Joseph's story, I want to study. And I really want to set the stage here. I want to set the table. Because we have Joseph who has received this vision from God. Now, and although we may not get this insight from the biblical narrative, I want to plead a case that Joseph is just like many other 12-year-olds that have too much information. sometimes they lack the gift of wisdom and being tactical or being discreet. Right? I'll tell you a quick story. I'll never forget, I think my son is probably 5 years old, and he had learned about the story of David, and right around the time, like bedtime, I think it was like time for him to go to bed, he would start saying things like, "Dad, you make me go to bed, I'm going to call down all of the angels from heaven to ask you." I'm like, "What is, you going to call down all of heaven just because I've asked you to go to bed?" So like, there's this piece of this that I'm like, that I'm as a father, that I'm amazed, right? Like, I want to cultivate that gift in you for prayer and understanding what you have access to. There's the other piece of me, right, where I'm like, son, in your immaturity, just because you don't like what dad is telling you, you don't have permission to call all, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the world, right? He's going to use all of the angels that do this over to come change my mind about you going to bed at 8:30, because you want to stay at the White Power Rangers. Or do they blaze, right? That's not, right? And so I think he was just like every other 12-year-old. Where I think sometimes he lacked the wisdom and how he could crave what God was giving him, right? But I could just imagine, like Joseph was the youngest, right? The youngest of his brothers. I mean, just imagine this. Youngest of his brothers. He was the child of the son. And he was the son of whom his father loved. So the woman that his father loved, right? His true love, and finally had a child. And so he's the youngest, but he's also the beloved child, right, from his father. And So he's the youngest of the family. You can imagine, probably, if you're the baby of the family, right? Most of your world is prescriptive, right? There, like, you're constantly brought, like, being drugged into rooms. You're constantly, like, decisions are being made, right? You're in the room, and decisions are being made for you, right? But because you're the baby, like, there's a sense of entitlement that you have. And I could just imagine, like, Joseph being like, yo, y'all go put some respect on my name, right? Now, this is Antonio's commentary, right, on the biblical narrative. But I could just imagine, right, Joseph, telling his parents, like, and telling his brothers, you're going to put some respect on my name. And let me tell you why. But I can imagine the dialogue between Joseph and his father. Be like, hey, Joseph, you take care of the dishes? He's like, well, Dad, let me tell you something. I had this dream. And in this dream, God told me I'm the leader of this household, right? This is like things that my children are telling me. Like, I'm going to eventually be the leader. Well, I'm like, yeah, you can be the leader, but when you have your own house and you're paying your own bills, right? So these are the conversations I'm having with my children. I can just imagine, like, Joseph having this, like, conversation, but lacking wisdom with how he's sharing what God has given him. So, hey, take care of this. Well, you know, I'm actually the leader. Let me tell you about this dream that God gave me. Right? And everybody's going to bow down to me, all my brothers, and even you. So, Dad, here's a better idea. How about you take care of those business? And if you don't want to do it, and, you know, Mom, you know, whatever, I don't want to, you know, maybe just have Judah. Hey, Judah, you have Judah take care of that. Right? Like, so I can just imagine, right, this 12-year-old child being given this infinite amount of wisdom, right? Paul even talks about this, like, this having access to heaven, right, and being assigned a throne, right? So there are a lot of realities of when you give a young person or any human access to that kind of the gravity or the fight to the reality of heaven. And what I've discovered is as Joseph was telling his story as the hero of his own story, the hero of his family. I remember a friend telling me a few years back. He says, Antonio, we're all telling the story of putting words to the story of the pages in our book. He said, but the moment that you start putting yourself, you as the hero to your story, is the moment that you become the enemy of God's story. He said, because as faith people, we are not the hero. We're not the hero of God's story. And I believe that a part of what God was trying to do, what God was allowing, right, when we get to the end of Joseph's story, and Joseph is saying, what you intended to be harmed, God intended for good. Because as Joseph was seeing himself as the centerpiece of this story, God was trying to expand Joseph's imagery and realize that, unfortunately, Joseph, you're not the hero in this story. You're just the instrument that the hero uses to save the world. And friends, I believe so much of what God desires to do with people who are called when you're marked, right? The blessing of being marked, of being the instrument that God uses to change and to save humanity, right? Joseph saved humanity through a season. He led humanity through a season, or through a pandemic season. Is that so much of what God is trying to do is prepare us for this world? Because I've discovered that God can and will use whatever we do. But in order for us to embrace all of what God desires to do in us, we can't take all of Jesus, all of God, all of the things that he desires, and then hold on to all of my resentment, all of my hurt, all of my pain. I have to be willing to expose those hurts and those pains and those resentment, so understand that I don't allow these things to convolute into and to steal my perspective of what God is doing. Could you imagine Joseph making it into the end of the story, right? Could you imagine him being second in command, but holding on to all of his resentment and his hurt? He probably would have missed the opportunity to save all of his men. And so what I want to talk to you about is the Hebrews. My first point today is not my soul. I think it's important as far as our discussion today to have a working definition for the faith. So this is what I wrote down. So faith is the denial of our story and embracing our story to God's house. This is when the Bible tells us that those who reject their life or those that lose their life will actually find it. Faith is, for our discussion today, for our working definition, if faith is the denial of our story. Right? It's sort of like this idea that while we're pinning our story, right, because we're involved and we have responsibility in our story, that we're constantly like that 12-year-old kid that probably didn't study for the test, and you're kind of looking over to the person to your left and to your right, or the person that walks into the middle of a conversation, is where you need to be asking the people who are there about what's going on, right? Like, so while we're pinning the pages of our story, we need to be constantly looking to the Word of God, looking to God to allow His Word to inform our life. And I believe that this is what's going on. This is why I believe it's so hard for us to digest, or for me to digest, the story of Joseph. Because historically speaking, when you look at the biblical narrative, and I want to share a scripture with you, John 3:4, and I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, it was not because of his sin, so let me give you a little bit of context. So Jesus' disciples, they had ran into something in the blind. And they had the historical context that this stuff was happening, like bad things happened because somebody was sinning or making bad decisions. And so Jesus said something that really changes the landscape, right, of people's perspective on humanity. And if Jesus said this didn't happen because of his sins or his parents' sins. He said this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. I believe that so much of what God was doing was not because of the sins in Joseph. It wasn't because of the untimeliness of this vision, that God was trying to declare his power through Joseph. It's through Joseph's life that God was taking him away. But what I've realized is so much of Joseph's progression, so much of God of Joseph embracing the vision, has so much to do with Joseph letting go of the things that sometimes hinder us in our season of preparation for God's using. So I want to share the scripture to give us some more context. It's in Hebrews 12. And we're reading in Hebrews 12, 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witness to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that is so easy to trip us up. Think about, I really want you to think about maybe your own mind and the decisions. And think about how much sometimes resentment, hurt, other people's choices, other people's sins have impacted our individual lives. How the decisions, how the prescriptive pains, right? How somebody making a decision on our behalf has impacted our life. And I believe so much of what God is doing in Joseph's life is it's stripping away the pain, the hurt, the resentment. That God is refining the same way that soul would be refined. The pressure and the heat of no wrongdoing of the gold. But since it was intertwined or grown, the materials that are discovered with this lump of gold, it has to be refined so that those things that are of no value are removed and stripped away, and that you're only left with the purity of the gold. I think so much of what we've seen in Joseph's betrayal is God doing that. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. He said, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross and disregarded the shame. Now he's sitting in the place of honor beside God's throne, and he thinks of the hostility that he's doing from the people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your life in your struggle, in your struggle against him. This is good, right? This is good. He says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. What seems odd? Why are we talking about the Lord's discipline? Well, what's really profound about this particular word, discipline, is it's actually described specifically as the word or the analogy of the training of grace. So this word discipline actually means the training of grace. And in this Greek word, the training of grace is assigned to the process in which a young prince would be prepared for a kingdom. Now think about that. That the discipline that God prescribes to our life is the process in which God is preparing his children, his prince, for kingdom. Let us continue. It says, and don't give up when he corrects you. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Think about this idea. That I believe so much of the pain, right, that we experience. But we know that Joseph was marked by faith. God chose Joseph. But my next point is that he was marked, but he discovered what it is that God had for him through his submission. It was through submission. So let's think about the word submission, right? So you know submarine, and then you have mission. So sub, under, mission, right? So I know sometimes we don't like the trigger words for some of us. In terms of why, I don't want to be a submission, right? So this idea of being submission is being under mission, which means that Joseph discovered that God desired to use him for a greater purpose by submitting, by being under God's mission. I'll talk about myself. This may not be your problem, but this is mine. I find it to be very easy to embrace the dreams, right? Like Ephesians says, exceedingly abundantly more than what we can ask or imagine. I find it really easy, right, when I find out that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or imagine, right? Because I can think of some really awesome things that I desire, and to realize that God's imagination for me, what God desires for me, is greater than those things. I find it really easy to imagine myself in those rooms. But oftentimes find it very difficult to submit, to come under God's mission and how that's accomplished. I find it really hard sometimes, the process in which God wants to refine those things that he's already set before us. And this is Joseph's story. But it's not just Joseph's story, it's how God uses those that are destined for greatness. So we cannot run from the cross of the mission. But there's this testing of our faith that comes through suffering, comes through betrayal. tell some of my students that the greater the betrayal, the greater the blessing, the greater the opportunity to be used by God. That God is using my suffering. God's using my suffering. He's using this season of suffering. Not as a means to discourage you, so that we grow weary, but to remind us that if we can just hold on in due time, we will inherit, we will experience, we'll reap a season of harvest. But what God is trying to do is strip away the pain and the pain, so that when you get in that position of power, and you see this, right? You can just turn on the TV. We can look in your magazines, and we find that people who are oftentimes in position of power, the first thing that they do is they start paying people back. Like, this is for all the people who told me I couldn't do this, and then for all the people who hated on me, and this is up for all the people, right? We start going back into the past, right? This is what Pastor talked about last week. We start going into the past, and we start allowing our past to make decisions for our future. And in doing so, unfortunately, you're not the same person. God is just trying to get us to a place where we understand that we're not the hero of the story. He's using our suffering to show us that we're the instrument that he'll use to save and change the world. It's time to go. That we realize that the reason why God has given us dreams and given us purpose, it's not to let everyone else around us worship, like Joseph, as a young boy. But it was the good, not just for him, but for humanity. I believe that God wants to do this in your family. He wants to do this in your community, in your workplaces, in your schools. Whatever it is that you have connections with, I believe in the same way God wants to use you as a Christian. So be encouraged. Don't grow weary of good doing. This doesn't do time, friends. You will do the harvest. But I've discovered that God can only grow the things that we plant and we water. So we have to be intentional with allowing God to interact, like allowing God, holding true to the vision that we have. Understanding that Heavenly Father, I just thank you for listening to whoever's in front of us, whoever's at the sound of our word, whether they're watching live, or maybe they have to put a marker on the message because their children are running around, or they're busy, they're driving, and they get a call, and I'm praying that they would realize that in the middle of their faithfulness, in the middle of their good doing, in the middle of their hard work, in the middle of the betrayal, God, you're coming in this place. You're coming in this story. And all we have to do is periodically in our story, look over our shoulders, and we discover kind of that you're writing this story, a beautiful narrative about our lives. And that the more that we begin to keep our eyes, as Hebrews tells us, to keep our eyes on the champion of our faith, who perfects our faith and of keeping our eyes on you, you begin to inform the way that we live our lives. God, I pray that your vision, right, our working definition for faith, because I wouldn't be writing out a 10-year kind of view for success in my life. But Lord, that I would be writing out and embracing your story of my life. I'd be denying my own and embracing your story of my life. And that's what Jesus says to me. And I pray that you would give us strength and courage. You would remind us, God, of these moments of fellowship. Your mission for our life, and we begin to discover what it is that you desire to be marked by our faith, and it's through our suffering that you refine and cause us to let go of the pains and the resentments and the hurt and the prescriptive things that have happened to us, so that we let go of our victim mentality, our victim mindset, and we realize that we're a victim. Then God can use us to walk people through the realities, the pain, the pandemic, these catastrophic traumas that people experience. Use us, God, to use them to help. Amen. Thank you all.
Dear clarity, please come. Show me what has just begun. All the hopes and fears I've ever known. Oh, have faith come back to me. Once convinced, though once believed. Now mystery I'll see.
Thank you again for that, Pastor. As you can tell, this is no longer the town, but this is Nathan, my best friend, and happens to be my wife. And I wanted to introduce you guys because we have some exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool. As we come together as Discovery, we need to find new ways to reconnect and figure out people's giftings. So we're going to be moving into this season, connecting better than ever before. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining us. As always, we have so many prayer requests that coming for the week. Some that I'd like to highlight. We have someone struggling with some pain in their foot.
We have someone looking for roommates, just where we're going to live, where we're going to be. We've got a prayer request for someone praying for a family member who's dealing with addiction. And this last year has been incredibly hard with all these different things. You know, it's been hard connection-wise and church-wise and work-wise. And so we just want to lift up those prayers right now. And we also want to take a moment right now to give us an opportunity to give back. Bringing back what God has given us and blessed us with so much, it's a blessing that we get to give back. So please find thisbookchurch.com/giving. You can give there. But we want to lift up this prayer request and lift up this kind of giving right here. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for any of us in our community that are struggling with pain, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. I pray that you would lift those up, that you would heal us, that you are a God that restores, you are a God that mends. We pray that you would reach into our minds and heal us in those ways. I pray for those of us looking for blessings with jobs and finances, God, that you are also a God of the lives, that we believe that you are a God who all good things flow through. So we pray for those things. We lift up this time of giving. We pray that through our giving, our community will be blessed, that the church doesn't exist just to hoard, but the church exists to give back. And I pray that we can be that light in the community through our giving and even through our meeting tracks over the next couple of weeks. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We just, we're so excited that you joined with us today. My pastor and my family, Stephanie. We just have a bunch of people in the world. There's Stephanie tonight. Please,